Welcome to a new episode of the Symptom Wisdom Show. I am Sarah Kimberly, and today we're going to talk all about the good girl. So, for those of you new to the good girl, the way I see her is this part of our inner child who has learned through her life experience, through her upbringing, to develop certain good girl strategies, such as fawning, such as appeasing, such as clinging, grasping, trying to be better and good and perfect and enough in hope that she will get what she needs. And we're going to talk about how she shows up in chronic symptoms and what exactly this part of us is yearning for. These unmet needs that may actually feel unfamiliar, unsafe, and even unwanted, when actually, in embodying these five things, we integrate the sides of good girl that are currently repressed, shamed, and prohibited. Because within good girl is definitely a wild, naughty, passionate, desirous, loud, expressive. Emotional, communicative woman, right? So let's go into good girl. I've already given a little bit of a brief explanation, but let's see her as separate from some of the other girls I talk about. Let's see her separately from Invisible Girl. So, good girl is not necessarily on the sidelines of life and afraid of being seen, like Invisible Girl. Good girl's deepest fear is to be misunderstood, to be reprimanded, to do something wrong, and have people disappointed in her. She wants to please. And something that's a little bit could be triggering, but let's roll with it. Good girl does have a side to her that is manipulative, because what she's actually doing is she's saying, look at me over functioning, mothering, trying, doing, being so good, trying to be so good, so that you, whatever the thing is that I want. Or so that I get whatever the thing is that I want. And so she's not just good because she's good. She might think that in herself, like, I've just got such a big loving heart, that's why I exhaust myself helping everybody and put everybody else's needs before my own. But if we just go one layer deeper, sprinkle in a bit of self-awareness and a shot of radical honesty, we might be able to get on board with that. That there is a bit of, I'm only doing this so that. And it's very valid, so that I'm safe, so that I'm seen, so that I'm understood, so that I don't get thrown out of the pack and left to die, right? So that I don't get abandoned. So, good girl is operating in this way to keep connection. While Invisible Girl, she's out of here. She's just like, I'm safer on my own. Good girl does not feel safer on her own at all. So there is this self-sacrificing, mask-wearing, awkward uncomfortableness inside good girl. She doesn't feel comfortable in her body. She doesn't feel comfortable in her skin. She doesn't feel comfortable in her voice. She's still learning how to really embody her backbone, her no, her self-regard. And so we can just take a moment to feel into Good Girl and see her posture. Just if we didn't know anything, if we didn't know anything about the body-mind, everything I'm sharing here about Good Girl, where do you think she would show up in the body-mind? How would she morph physically these wounds and this desperation and this trying, this anxiety, this deep fear that she holds? Where could that show up in the body? So I've seen Good Girl show up in definitely in chronic pain, the overfunctioning, the repressed resentment for the overfunctioning. I've seen Good Girl in throat infections, anything that is going to help her kind of block her voice and keep herself in check in that way. We see Good Girl in invisible symptoms like fatigue. And also I see a lot of migraines, headaches, because she's so in her head. She's so calculating every wrong move and rerouting herself and trying so hard to be good. And that is so much stress, so much inflammation. So let's just go right into these five unmet needs for a Good Girl. I'll list all five because I know the Good Girl in you wants to write them down. I just know it. So here they are. They all begin with the letter F. To be fed, to be fucked, to light her fire, to face her fear, and freedom. Notice what came up, what initial immediate resistances, particularly to number two. And let's jump into number one, fed. So what do I mean? I mean, within Good Girl is this tolerance for mediocrity. There is this lack within her, this depletion, this exhaustion, because she gives and gives and does and does and does, and she isn't fed back because she has very low self-worth. And so what Good Girl gets to do is to start to be nourished by life, nourished and filled up by her relationships, nourished and fed and invigorated by her career, her purpose. So just take stock for now. Do you feel well fed in all of these areas? Relationships, purpose, work, money, life. Do you feel that there's nothing more that is actually your, you're giving up this, you're giving up something because you think, well, I mean, I should be thankful that I have this anyway. That's Good Girl. That is absolutely Good Girl. So being well fed, she heals the overfunctioning, overthinking, and the scarcity. And these are really deep wounds. You know, we're not going to get into all of the hows. I know the part of you, the part of Good Girl, she's like, give me the how, give me the how, I'm ready. We're talking about healing mother wounds, healing father wounds, healing the whole strategy within. Well, maybe if I do this and this and this, I'll get a little bit fed. Just a little bit, because that's all that I'm worth. I won't ask for too much. I don't want to be too much. I don't want to be like outrage girl or victim girl. I just want my little request, if that's okay, if that's appropriate, right? She's so scared to just own what she wants and to accept the consequences of that. And so good girl gets to start feeding herself first and foremost. And that is where we can look at the chronic symptoms showing up and see where they are expressions of, I'm so depleted. I need more. I need to be treated in this way. I deserve this. Good girl really struggles with that. She really, really struggles with that. And so that is the first of five areas where she gets to really embody this sense of being totally provided for and cared for without having to do anything. She's already worthy. And it will be really helpful for her to have a look into her beliefs around that, because she probably thinks sitting around being lazy, not doing anything, she probably has really negative connotations because she's been coded, imprinted, programmed that way. And that's what triggers this compulsive need to do and fix and figure out and be good. Okay, let's move on to number two with good girl really needs to get fucked. Like, she really needs to liberate her sexuality. And the fawning, which is a nervous system response to fawn, to just sort of flop over. It's not really a no, but it's just like a whatever. And poor good girl, like, she totally disassociates from her body, usually in sexuality, especially because she's just like okay with it being mediocre, or like, I mean, you get what you want and I'll get what I want later, because maybe what I really want is some emotional maturity, some emotional intimacy. What I really want is to be treated well, or to be taken out, or to be provided for outside of the bedroom. So I'm willing to kind of exchange what you want and the sex that you want, because that's like our little trauma bond that we've got going on. She might also have some religious stuff, religious trauma, some God issues with, not only with God, but then also the masculine, right? So whatever she's learned about God, she probably projects onto men. So if God is scary, absent, if he is, or he, or the institution of religion is something that good girl feels she has to live up to, she has to be perfect, she has to be good enough, or she's a dirty, rotten sinner that's gonna go to hell, right? Wow, right? And then where could she be projecting that onto men? Just something to consider. And so by fucked, I don't just mean like fucked into absolute liberation and bliss and like It's just like when you can't even remember your name or what day it is because you've been so well fucked and you feel so loved and you feel so met by this other person and by yourself. I also mean that she gets to be more than just the good girl. So the good girl is just one, it's a shadow part of the fully embodied archetype. And for good girl, that is actually goddess or the mother. So what we can see is if we have this holy idea of goddess, this clean and pure version of her, and of the mother as kind of sexless and devoted to her children overly and like kind of has no life or personality of her own but to serve, we can see how that shadow in good girl shows up here. But what good girl gets to do is reframe all of that, because the embodied archetype of the goddess is incredibly sexual. Sex is everywhere in nature. Everywhere. There's absolutely no shame in it. Shame is something that has been taught and adopted. And for the mother energy, we also get to do a lot of healing around this over-functioning mother who doesn't get any of her own needs met. Maybe that's what we've witnessed from our own mother, or maybe that's something we've picked up from society about women. When the truth for good girl is that she gets to be so well cared for, and she, you know, she can explore different personalities within that. There can be the sensual, deeply romantic lovemaking. There can be the kink that good girl probably hasn't ever explored in her life. Her lover gently pulling her hair, their hand around the neck. But she feels so safe. She feels so surrendered, right? For good girl, overthinking, with a lot of unprocessed pain and fear and trauma, this is going to feel really out there for her. And so it's not that I'm saying, good girl, go and do these five things. Just go do them. No. They're the side effect. They're the outcome of doing the work, right? For good girl, integrating the wounding of good girl, healing those wounds and processing her pain. She gets to be well fed. She gets to be well fucked. She gets to be met in her relationships. She doesn't have to fawn anymore. She doesn't have to tolerate mediocrity anymore. Let's go on to the third one. The third one is fire. Fire and backbone. So good girl really gets to own her no. Not her, oh, I'm so sorry, like I really would love to do that, but actually I, this and that, and please don't be upset at me, and oh, okay, or maybe I can be tempted, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do it. No. So what do I mean by fire and backbone? I really mean she gets to reclaim her primal self. She gets to feel into the wolf in her, the mama bear in her, the kind of feral, dirty, primal, assertive parts of her that for now have been totally repressed, right, and rejected. She hasn't been allowed to access those parts until now. Her wildness, her wilderness, right? So some questions for good girl. What is she a stand for? What fires up her belly with truth and conviction? And she gets to finally access her anger, her fury, her sacred rage. Because good girl, she's not one for displaying and expressing her anger. Good girl would have a look over to outraged girl and say, well, she's a mess. That's not going to be good for me. Like screaming and erupting all over the place. You know, good girl really like shames that part of outraged girl. And outraged girl just thinks good girl is a bit of a loser. Like, why don't you just express yourself? Poor good girl. Like, you can see how we all have these different parts of us and how they're all the energy we're spending, like fighting and repressing them, when they all just want to be loved into wholeness. So good girl gets to start to find a space for her anger and her expression of her wildness. And then she starts to actually practice in real life being like, hey, that's not okay. And no. And stand up for herself. And in doing that, I mean, because bear in mind, when we're healing and integrating one of these girls, like we're healing and integrating them all, right? I really believe we have all of them. And they're repressed on different levels, depending on our conditioning. So as we're healing good girl, we're healing outraged girl too. Because outraged girl also needs to learn how to communicate herself. So they really get to come hand in hand here. It's like good girl gets to learn and lean into a little bit of outraged girl's superpowers because she is so good at expressing the fury. Like she's so good at showing just how fucking mad she is. Whereas good girl can teach outraged girl about there's a time and a place and like taking more accountability. Right, outraged girl is very much you, and good girl's very much me. So they can learn from each other here and find the middle. Right? They're both kind of to the extreme on different sides of the spectrum. Okay, so number four, she gets to face her fear. So you can write fear. Or face her fear. What do I mean? So for a good girl, she has yet to explore her edges, her muchness, her pain, and her catastrophic worst case scenario fears. Like, she talks about them. She ruminates over and over and over on them. I'm so scared. I don't want to be too much. I got to be just right. But she doesn't really face that fear. She doesn't really process that fear. And so, namely, the fear of being weak, the fear of being rejected, the fear of being too much, the fear of being not enough, the fear of not getting it right, of being, quote, bad, whatever that means, the fear of falling behind, the fear of being misunderstood, of being reprimanded, of being criticized. The fear of being consumed by her pain and even dying. Not so much the, when we're all scared of death, right? That's just the human condition. But she's also scared of, like, the good girl does get to die. All of these girls die as they're integrated into their wholeness. They die a great many of deaths. It's not just one session, one practice, one death, boom, done. Like, I'm still, like, Invisible Girl and Good Girl come up for me. They all come up for me. Like, I'm not going to lie with you guys. They come up, little 7-year-old Sarah, being all good, trying to be understood, terrified of conflict. She comes up sometimes. That's okay. But now I'm no longer terrified of being consumed by the fear of conflict, the fear of abandonment. Like, imagine whatever the big fear is for your good girl. Imagine telling her, okay, let's go face it now. Let's go feel it finally and really like process it, there's going to be a lot of resistance. And that's why I guide these practices gently, trauma-informed, in a safe space inside of my programs. Because it is, I couldn't have done it by myself. Integrating good girl, like, my voice, my throat would just close up. I just couldn't. And then I would, like, if I try to even just practice in the mirror, saying, like, I don't know, maybe sexual desires, or saying what I'm not okay with, or setting a boundary, like, my throat would just close up. So she gets to face a great many of metaphysical deaths along the way into her initiation into her womanhood, as well as these fully embodied archetypes. And I've mentioned one there, goddess slash the mother. So all of these eight shadow girls that you've seen me talk about a little bit on here, a little bit on my Instagram, they're each the shadow of a fully embodied archetype. And integrating her, she then no longer has to rely on these tragedies, no longer has to live in fear. She lives fully embodied, fully alive, without the fear of sort of being found out. Like, it's like she's masking who she really is, because that didn't work. At some point growing up, she got the imprint that that isn't acceptable. It doesn't work. It doesn't get her needs met. It's too weird. It's too this. It's too that. And she gets to, you know, really pretzel herself into what she thinks she has to be. And her work, her very brave work, is that as she faces her pain, as she embodies her muchness, as she tiptoes towards the edges of her very black and white, this is good, this is bad, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do, as she really lets herself face, like, the ultimate worst case scenarios, the ultimate, like, bad girl in her. It doesn't mean she has to become the bad girl. That's one of good girl's big fears. She can still be living in her heart, so kind, so giving. Like, she doesn't have to lose her superpowers. She just gets to integrate them into wholeness, so she's no longer taken advantage of. She's no longer draining her life supply to energy vampires who just take and take and take from her. She's no longer fawning in the bedroom and feeling used or violated or just awkward in her body. She gets to feel so free. And so that's the fifth thing here, freedom. I remember when I first played around with the new idea that I am allowed. I am allowed. And then whatever it was, I'm allowed to use my voice. I am allowed to take up space. I'm allowed to be here. I give myself permission. Like, this was absolutely life-changing for me and for the part of me that lived fully embodied as good girl. I only knew restriction and, like, what's not allowed. And then I follow the rules and keep myself good and get seen as good and obedient, right? So good. One of good girl's main wounding is that she had to learn to be extremely obedient. So, of course, it's hard for good girl to learn the difference between obedience, forced obedience, and safe, sweet surrender. Because forced obedience, and we see that happening in society all the time, I mean, even my Instagram is restricted right now because I haven't been a little good girl. I've been breaking some rules, apparently. Talking about the fact that I healed chronic illness, it's a bit taboo. The institutions don't like it. So they tell me, hey, Sarah, look, be a little good girl. Take all of that out of your postings. Like, don't post anymore about all of that. And we'll reward you by lifting the restriction. So good girl gets herself into a lot of these prisons where she realizes that if she wants to get the thing, she needs to play by the rules. The pandemic was a fucking shit show and a really great example of how it was really hard for a good girl to follow her truth and her conviction while restrictions were put in place that were forcing her to do certain things, even with her body. Well, you know, good girl, if you want to go and see grandma one last time before she passes, you better line up and get your shots. And if we haven't done a lot of work on good girl, it's something we haven't seen yet. It's like, okay, well, they have our best interest, right? You know, yeah, like, I'll follow the rules. So she's so young. She's so young. She's definitely, there's a naivety to good girl because she doesn't fully face her pain and her grief. And that's really the maturing process. To see where she's been brainwashed and where she's living in these prisons that she is only in because she's the good girl. So there's the prison, that prison with the government. There's the prison of being with in a narcissistic dynamic. Maybe the good girl lives at home with narcissistic parents. Maybe her partner is either narcissistic or even just... Here's an example. I dated someone for many years whose personal beliefs were that I shouldn't be too sexual, you know, I shouldn't reveal too much skin. And that was just his own way. But somehow, because I was fully good girl, I let that become my thing. So it was very subtle, like, and I wouldn't call him a narcissist. Like, it wasn't like he actually said to me, you are not allowed to wear revealing clothes. It was way more subtle. It was like, oh, are you wearing that? And I'd already be like, oh, like, I guess I'm not wearing that. And I'd go change. So, as good girl learns who the fuck she is, as she embodies her voice and her backbone and her pleasure, she's no longer finding herself in these kind of jail life sentences. She's free of the constant good girling, giving, the doing, the trying. And she's free to be who and how she is. Just who she is. And I know for a lot of good girls, there's this like, but this is who I am. Like, this, like, I don't want to do all those things and they're not me. And I'm not saying that they are because I don't know you, right? But if you weren't afraid, what are the deep desires for a good girl? If you weren't conditioned and programmed to think a certain way, how would you be? How would you live? Where would you work? Who would you date? What would you do? How would you walk and move and dress your body? Because if I'd have learned these teachings so much earlier, I wouldn't have spent so long in this, like, I'm so good, I'm repressing all of my emotions, to like crazy freak outbursts with outraged girl, to like I'm so embarrassed I even have needs and desires and emotions, I'm just going to go completely invisible, to fuck all of this, I'm just a bad girl drinking and partying and doing all the quote bad things. If I'd have learned these teachings sooner, I could have integrated her sooner and reparented her, right? So good girl is deeply yearning for mothering and fathering that she didn't get. And it is that work that we now do for her. We are that parent to her already. So let's start with that. How am I already talking to her? How am I holding her? Maybe I'm not holding her at all. Maybe I just criticize her the whole time. How do I view the part of me that is the good girl? Because that's where we start. And there's going to be a lot of cringe for her to get through, probably. I don't know if good girl has ever really like looked at herself naked or touched herself sensually, like, or said no. Like, there's a spectrum, right? We're somewhere along this initiation process of reclamation. And oh, like, if only the part of us who lives in good girl could see and feel how free she gets to be. So free. And here's the most important thing, that freedom gets to be safe. Because the wiring, especially from governments, society, but everywhere, the wiring, the neural pathway is, if you are confined and restricted and good, you are safer. So good girl gets to totally rewire that. Totally rewire that. It is in her freedom and her embodiment and her fullness and her backbone and her voice and her I am here and her conviction and her following her intuition, her standing up for herself, that is where she's safe. So the final notes is just, let's take good girl as if we would take in an actual little girl. Maybe she's around 12, prepubescent. She's just learning about her period. And let's take her before she gets told all of this bullshit. Let's take her into our hearts and reteach her the womanly ways, the womanly arts, the art of being a woman, the power that she holds. That is the work for good girl. That is the work that we do in Embodied Symptom Wisdom, and that is the work we'll be doing inside my upcoming workshop, Integrating the 8 Shadow Girls. So the links are below. You can go and look at sarahkimberly.com/workshop for more information. I hope that this was supportive for you. Please go and spend at least 5 minutes after listening to this episode with your good girl. In the mirror, or just sitting down on your mat, hand on your heart, hand on your womb, breathe into her, ask her, what are you needing from me? And then keep those ears open, listen to the truth of her pain, validate the fuck out of her, and bring her under your wing. Because it's time to integrate, reparent the good girl. Okay, thanks for listening, loves. Goodbye for now.